good morning or good evening. Welcome to this
and
week.
Good night.
And it's been good and real.
Good afternoon, good evening.
The Truman Show is one of the best films ever made.
I enjoyed it immensely. Oh, we should watch it.
We really should. Yes. We should do a live. How about we watch
a simul viewing?
We will. No. We're going to hang out this weekend. We watch The Truman Show, and we will.
Yes.
And we will live tweet from the TWIM Twitter account
as though it were a new movie.
During the movie,
we're like, "Ah, Truman, can't you see they're advertising when those two midget people push you against the wall with the ad on it?"
Now, speaking of which, I did live tweet. You know the movie Airborne?
Oh, I thought you were going into Aaron Elton from Midgets.
We'll get to that in a second. Did you ever see the movie Airborne when you were younger? Rollerblading, Cincinnati?
No.
It's classic. It's like Rad. You and I both love the movie Rad, you know?
I did see, what's the roller skating movie? Bump? Like Bump, Groove, Jimmy, Shimmy?
Roll Bump or something?
Yeah, Roll Bump, Roll
no.
Jiggy Jiggy Bump.
Airborne is a movie you would appreciate because as a fellow Rad fan, it's in that same vein, but it's rollerblading. It was like made in like 93 or something like that. Terrible flick. It was on Netflix. I watched it and I tweeted throughout the entire experience. It was terrific. It was landmark entertainment.
The only problem with that is rollerblading never really became popular.
That's why it's such a great movie. Rollerblading was just as popular as BMX biking.
No,
during
BMX
its heyday,
biking
come
was
on.
Legit.
Yeah, and rollerblading, dude, this is one thing. Crew Jones and Aunt Becky from Full House. Dude, the homeboy was stuck on a little dirt course in his town. And Airborne, they start on top of a hill, and they go everywhere.
So one time.
Everywhere.
One time when I was a kid, this is my one experience with, like, big-time rollerblading. We went and visited my aunt's house, who lived on a big hill in California. And at the bottom of the hill was the 101 highway, right? So the hill went straight down and then leveled out for about 30 feet.
I know this hill, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there was the 101, right?
Yeah.
And so me and my brothers, we got helmets for Christmas, like bike helmets. And so we were, once, as a kid, you normally have so little protection that once you have a little bit, you're convinced that you're Superman and nothing can touch you. And so we put this helmet on. And it was like, yeah, no, for sure we can take this hill. That's no problem.
Absolutely.
So we suit up at the top of this hill, and it's probably a quarter mile to the bottom of the hill, and it's a good clip.
It's a very steep hill.
Turns out at this grade, we picked up a lot of speed really fast. And you can't know that as a 10-year-old kid until you're going 20, 25 miles an hour.
Yes.
And so we're all three of us screaming down the bottom of this hill. And all of a sudden, we're starting to compute the equation in our mind. And we're seeing the trucks screaming by at 70 miles an hour down on the 101. And we're like, huh, there is no way to stop this train of love that we're on right now.
And to make people understand, this is a stretch of the 101 that's not officially like freeway, so
it's like two lanes.
So you turn out directly onto streets from it. There's no like on ramp or anything like that. Yeah,
right. And so yeah, it's a T into the highway. And so like we're going down, and all of a sudden we're like looking, and we're seeing the cars, the heavy traffic, and we're realizing something's got to give. And so we had this very stoic. At the bottom of the hill, we go into the ditch off to the right, standing very stoically. And then as soon as your rollerblades grab in the mud and weeds, you go end over end over end over end. And we all lived. That's the moral of the story. The downside is there were some serious wounds out of that.
Yeah.
So my advice, don't rollerblade into traffic.
No. But the thing is, if you want to see people rollerblade into traffic, watch Airborne.
Really? They grab cabs and like
it's outstanding. It's outstanding. The character,
it sounds like a complete waste of time.
No, if you love Rad, there's every reason you would love Airborne. It's classic.
I love Rad, but it's got that Full House girl in it. That's why I love
it. And it's, you know, it's Rad. It's over the top ridiculous. And so is, I'm just telling you, everyone has to watch Airborne. Some of the best lines you'll ever hear in your life.
Such as, give me two examples.
Goodness, I wish I could find the Twitter feed that I let out.
No, well, see, I want okay, you, see, what is
to put it in
you?
Perspective, the main character is Mitchell Goosen. He's a surfer boy from SoCal, but he has to go live with his family in Cincinnati. And of course. Surfer boy, well, not with his
Yo Holmes, forget it. He's the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, basically. Actually, speaking of Fresh Prince, I have another great story about that right after this. you'll laugh at me and you'll enjoy it. So, anyway, the kid, he's the surfer kid, but he goes to Cincinnati, doesn't fit in, and he's like this total surfer. So he has so many amazing lines about, like, they stand up in speech class and have to talk about what they want to do, and he just gets up and he's like, you know, as long as I'm, like, not wearing a tie, sitting by the beach, then I'm styling, brah. And it's like he's supposed to be the coolest, dreamiest guy ever. It's brilliant. Has to be seen by everyone. And,
all right, I'm excited for Fresh Prince now.
Yeah. Oh, so this morning I was eating breakfast, and I was watching the Fresh Prince on TBS.
Which means you were eating breakfast at 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I might have been. And so Fresh Prince is on TBS, and I was watching it, and it turned out it was clearly the very last episode of the show, which I'd never seen. And so I was riveted. I watched for the whole hour because I wanted to see the end of the show. And I might or might not have welled up with tears by the end of it.
No,
yes.
You pansy.
I know. I'm such a softy. It's pathetic. Because Will's all sad. Everyone's leaving. And he says, like, you know, I was a relative when I moved here. But now you guys are my family. And now that everyone's going their separate ways, myself included, I don't want to just, like, be a relative again. And then when Uncle Phil looks at him and puts his hand on his shoulder and just says, you are my son. How do you not get touched by that? How?
By Uncle Phil's hand?
By... Will had no father, and Uncle Phil says, you are my son. It was very touching. I'm sorry, it was.
Jeff, you are less of a man because of this.
Remember, I also cried during Harry
you
Potter and the
Deathly
Hallows.
You cry at Saved by the Bell. You cry at Fresh Prince.
I don't think I've ever cried at Saved by the Bell, actually.
Did you fly, or did you cry during Armageddon?
No, Armageddon was a terrible movie.
Deep Impact? Did that make
that one moved me to it. When the tidal wave comes and just takes out Taya Leone and her dad, you're just like, this is just tragic. That movie was great because there was nothing they could do to stop it. It's like, yeah, we're all screwed. All right.
I loved Armageddon, by the way. I thought it was great. Anyway.
Oh, speaking of midgets, midgets?
Nope.
No, nothing about midgets?
No, none. Well, actually, there's one. No, never mind.
No, don't.
I was going to talk about Aaron Elton.
I know you
at this
were.
Point.
I say do it.
Aaron Elton.
Who's the
tells Tom
from the Mormon Bachelorette?
She's the executive producer of the Mormon Bachelorette. She's just very bad at telling time. Everything is 20 minutes per. Maybe it's a Southern California thing, but everything is like, hey, yeah, let's meet up. I'll be there in 20 minutes. 2 hours later. Hey, I'm about 20 minutes out. I'm like, no, you're not. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So, no. Yeah, like consecutively, three times in a row. Just terrible. Terrible. But we did meet. I am the equivalent of two Aaron Eltons, as math would have it. So it was an exciting evening.
And it seems like true Mormon love will finally befall you.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure she broke up with her boyfriend because of me.
Yes. Or was it because
it might
of
have been
me?
She actually commented that that you were picking up your game as of late.
Oh, yes. It is happening.
And Jeff, so help me, if you marry Aaron Elton, I would like to buy you the finest bottle of wine that you can take back for $50 that I can find.
Actually, because I care about you as a friend, I want you to buy me the Cabernet that they sell at Target on the checkout lanes that costs $6.
Because
it's got to be great stuff.
That's what I hear.
So,
I actually had to go buy wine today for our work.
Again?
Well, the other time was liquor.
You're like
right?
Their booze runner, man.
Well, so this time... So I go for wine. Let's go to a lady. I'm like, oh, boy. So here's the deal. I don't know what years and grapes and regions mean, but we got to get these for some gifts. So what's a good one for $50? And then she helped me. She's very kind. But I was like, it was, it's so painfully obvious to have a Mormon in there buying liquor. Because I'm like, well, does it taste good? She's like, it's got a mysterious oaky flavor. I'm like, that sounds terrible. I don't think that sounds good at all. And she's like, no, it's really sought after.
So for all you wine bibbers who are still LDS, please explain it to us.
Well, then she says it's sought after. Not, no, it's good. It's sought after. I'm like, if none of this tastes good, why are we drinking all this stuff? I mean, I'm back to my ginger ale. I'm fine.
Yeah, well, I will. Anywho. Wine is capable of good things. Cooking with wine, if you've had stuff cooked with wine, it does taste markedly better than stuff with it.
Really?
Yes. So I guess wine's probably okay. I can't imagine
full
other.
Full disclosure, Jeff is an avid Food Network watcher.
Oh, yeah, totally. Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful channel. Though there's
who's the guy that you love? What's his name?
Alton Brown. Alton Brown.
That was a trick question. I just knew you loved a guy.
He is, wow! And it's junior high, all over again.
I get his joke. Hey.
Hey. So and I do love the Food Network. Thank you very much. But
no, is that the guy? Is that the guy though that does like that knows everything about?
Alton Brown is like the Bill Nye the Science Guy with food.
Yes.
Basically,
I love him as well. Yeah. He's great.
He's great, and he hosts Iron Chef America, which is a terrific program. I love Iron Chef. Who doesn't love Iron Chef? It's just fun to see what they come up with in so little time. It's amazing what they come up with.
Best date idea ever. I often give my...
do Iron Chef?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And I'll say... I'm digging it. The challenge is rhubarb.
You can do a lot with rhubarb, though.
Yeah.
All that sweet tartiness, so versatile, so versatile.
If you know what you're doing.
It's true. Hey, so by the way, as you know, and you should be proud of me, I in sort of related news, I decided to watch college basketball last week.
March Madness?
I knew BYU was playing in like New Orleans or whatever, and so I decided to jump on the bandwagon and check it out.
Took the train to the Jimmer show.
And I was very let down. I mean, they lost, but this Jimmer character, what's he doing all the whole time? I'm like, this is the messiah of basketball.
He
shot
more three-pointers than anyone else.
He managed to sink 2 3-pointers from way downtown, and that was cool.
He had to shoot about 20 of them to get there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, I'm like, don't you have any other moves, Jimmer? I mean, I get it that he was being blocked pretty well and guarded and such, but it's like, you're not going to sink those every time. You can't get just past half court and think that you can just flippantly shoot off those balls and you're going to hit
those
threes right
now. That's the thing, though, is there are games where he can.
And I felt like he tried it so much without going for an easy 2 points that it slowly buried
him. Well, here's the thing.
Because they weren't getting at least 2 points to stay with it, and then it just, the gap just widened.
Your basketball IQ
is very, very low. I'm not going to pretend.
But
yes.
Here's the deal. You live by the Jimmer, you die by the Jimmer, okay?
No,
so
I'm still alive.
You spend
I am
your
still
whole season
alive.
Banking on this guy crushing it every game, and he's done it consistently. He's had some off games, but he pulls through. And even this game, he's still finished with 30-some points, right? But you live by him, you got to die by him. You got to take it in there and just say, all right, you know, you're going to shoot us. You're either going to shoot the lights out, or you're going to shoot until they turn the lights out, as my old coach used to say. The other great thing in Mormon basketball dumb, BYU Hawaii
or anything.
Played in the championship game for Division II basketball Springfield, Massachusetts this last week. On Saturday,
cool.
They were live CBS TV right there, prime time. It was great. And so for all my Seasiders out there, Marcus Whippy, my old boy, captaining the team, well done. Well done.
Well, did they win?
They lost in overtime. It was very disappointing to watch that.
But
happen.
But it is still a feat to remember.
They did phenomenally well. They've never made it past the Elite Eight, and this year they went right to the championship, crushing it.
Well, good for them. I'm proud of them.
It was some of the worst basketball I've ever seen towards the end of the game.
Two.
Like it just got super sloppy. But they've been playing a long time. I don't fault them.
So, yeah, my interest in March Madness lasted for about an hour and a half. And, it was fine. Now I'm done. I don't care about the rest
of it. Congratulations. BYU people.
But thank you for making it exciting for us, BYU. And if only Brandon Davies could have kept it together. Who knows?
What might have
What the future
been.
Could have held.
Oh, so anyway, Robert, our big fan. Remember we talked about a while ago about the legalities around the church and like civil lawsuits around the church, and we were just curious.
Yeah, I think it was the story of that woman who was suing the church for some injury she sustained during a young woman's activity.
Yeah, well, she was caroling.
I mean, yeah, right. I mean, that was the context of it. But we were just wondering about, suing the church in
general.
So
Robert had posted a comment that somehow disappeared, and we couldn't find it. And he was kind enough to email it. Well, he Facebooked it to me and then emailed it to me. And so I just want to read. I want to read the comment in entirety, and then we can discuss a little bit.
All right. Go for it.
Says, I don't know why. Well, in any case, here's the message in a nutshell. Feel free to repost it on the site or talk about it on the show. As a personal injury attorney in Utah, I can assure you that there are no disciplinary consequences to suing the church civilly for injuries suffered, at least in my experience. The firm I work at has named the church as a co-defendant in a lawsuit only once that I know of, and it was mainly to preserve our client's rights against a insurance policy that the church had in relation to an auto accident. And the church was actually very willing to work with us throughout the case. I know of other Mormon attorneys and Mormon plaintiffs in Utah who have also sued the church without repercussions in their church membership stuff. So my thoughts on this, Jeff, and you can tell me what you think, but this feels very correct to me. Like, this is how it should be.
Oh, is that your thought in its entirety? Yes.
What are you looking for?
I agree.
Mean, it feels right. Like, I agree in reading this, because I was curious, would you be able to, like, can you bring a lawsuit against the church and not have your membership taken into question, or like what happens when that goes on? Obviously, well, we're people that should not sue, right? Like, that's what we're taught, is you shouldn't sue if you can get around it. And there especially doesn't need to be, like, the frivolous just making money off of people suing.
Yeah, we've become very litigious.
But if people feel the need or feel like it's appropriate to somehow, for some reason, to sue the church, I don't feel like that should be an automatic, you're out of here or something like that. So that was my sense.
I agree. Especially because I think this tends to always this deals with, like he says right here, suing the church civilly. Obviously, I think if you were going after the church in some sort of criminal way, that could affect you, because oftentimes that would go in direct contradiction with some sort of, you know, more crucial doctrine or what have you of the church. You know, it'd be like an apostate sort of situation. But for civil stuff, yeah, it makes complete sense to me, because you're suing an institution for damages or for something along those lines.
Do you know of any other cases where somebody's brought a lawsuit against the church?
Personally, no. I mean, we've read stuff here and there. I know there have been cases where perhaps not suing the church directly, but like problems with, for example, we've talked in the past of some unscrupulous behavior from former therapists, like with LDS Family Services and stuff like that. And those people bring lawsuits against, these are civil suits again, but they bring lawsuits against LDS Family Services, which, you know, inevitably comes all the way to the church. So there's stuff like that. It just depends. It's hard when you go directly to the church itself in a civil setting, because basically you're suing for damages or for some sort of loss of compensation in one way or another, loss of income. That's something directly related to the church, which generally has to fall along the lines of some sort of activity or an auto accident or something like that.
Well, it's
Also, as a side note, you didn't name the insurance company or the insurance policy in question, and I won't. But I'm very surprised that that's who we use as a church. Just wanted to get that out there. I'm like, really? These guys? That's who we use?
If it's good enough for Berkshire, it's good enough for me. The one other thing that kind of sticks out to me is. You know, I can't imagine there being a scenario where like it would be a good idea to kind of chase this down, like to bring the church up in a lawsuit. But at the same time, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but so I won't.
I can tell. You're sure. Because it could be fun to listen to you just talk without.
No, I'm trying. Like I'm trying to get.
I do it all the time.
Because I had two or three thoughts written down, but I don't like. Anyway, all right. So that's the point. Thanks, Robert, for writing back in. We appreciate you sharing that with us. And
I agree.
People, yeah. If you have any thoughts on this, we don't recommend chasing this down or like bringing the church into a lawsuit. I think that's a bad idea in general. So don't do that if you can save it. Well, because the church as a whole, this is what it was. This is what I was thinking is, you know, the church spends so much time like giving and facilitating free resources, right? Resources to help. And then you got some schmucks in there that just mess it up, right? So like all these free, like mental counseling and stuff like that that they do. I mean, they don't charge for any of it, right? And then you get a couple of schmucks in there that abuse the power or abuse the position, and you know, like you're trying to get money back out of the church for it. It's like, listen, we've been losing money since the get-go, people. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It's a tough
That's
position
true.
To be in because you're just trying to help. Remember That's when true. Who was it? The Osmond's brother. Who was that guy that pretended that he was a sex therapist?
Oh, no, it wasn't an Osmond. No, yeah, like yeah. No. It was the brother of some 70 or something like that.
He was like, no, I'm a sex therapist. Why don't you tell me all about your stuff? Good times.
Yeah.
Good times.
Such good times. Such wonderful times. So, in other good time-related news, Mark Zuckerberg, founder and CEO of Facebook, joined Senator Orrin Hatch at the Marriott Center this past Friday for a special technology forum. First off, only 10,000 people went to this, which is appalling. You would think Mark Zuckerberg is not an easy guy to, like, you know, book.
Oh, my God.
You would assume?
It's the first time he's spoken to a college campus.
Yeah, and they half filled the Marriott Center. So, first off, what is wrong with you BYU students? I mean, I know Mark Zuckerberg is not the most dynamic public forum speaker. He's not. He's terrible. He's extremely awkward. But
he's brilliant.
Still?
The man's a smart dude.
It's Zuckerberg and Orrin Hatch. On top of that, a prominent senator. Why would you not go to this? Just curious. I mean, I know people have things to do, but I assume this was typical forum. No, this was Friday, though. It was a special forum. I don't know. That's the first thing that jumped out at me. I thought attendance was remarkably low. Anyway, it was sort of a Q&A based on questions submitted to BYU's Facebook page. Facebook, see? And he and Orrin Hatch, I don't really get the relationship there. They took questions to one another about, you know, entrepreneurship and how to succeed at things. It's still lost on me why Orrin Hatch and Mark Zuckerberg were paired up for this. Do you have any insights on this one at all?
Yeah, I think Orrin Hatch is actually working on a couple of things around technology and government.
Okay.
And so it's actually a fairly natural fit.
Okay. Well, there we go. So I just had no idea. I'm like, okay, Orrin Hatch, I should find out more.
Well, and
really,
maybe Zuck lost in poker or something. He's like, all right, loser of this game has to go speak at BYU. And he's like, ha.
And, of course, to show how smart he is, he said he never had to speak in front of a full stadium of people before. Mark, you still haven't. You were in an arena, sir, not a stadium.
Boo,
I know.
Boo,
tomato,
Jeff.
Tomato,
boo,
right? Ha ha! Hey, this guy is worth billions of dollars. If I have to get my kicks out of slamming him based off minor, you know, semantical issues...
So
it helps
be
me
it.
Feel better. I make fun of him for not knowing it's an
Who's
arena.
Who's winning now?
And then I watch The Social Network, and all is well. And I learn all about him, and I'm like, dude, Zuckerberg, he's kind of a shady character, man.
Hey.
Yeah.
Well, so a couple of things that he mentioned
are
in there.
Are we moving on? Or?
No, I was yeah. A couple of things that he mentioned in there that I thought were kind of rather insightful. Well, he obviously went through the whole story of Facebook and how it got going and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But he gave some great advice for, like, this is one of the things that I see really lacking in, I don't know. It's a catch 22, right? Because Utah's very innovative. There's smart people out there. There's a lot of people that are trying to create and building cool stuff. But there's a lot of people that are so lazy when it comes to entrepreneurship too. I mean, they're chasing like these stupid get rich quick scams, and there's more people trying to sell knives, Amway, and security systems out there than any place I've ever been in my life.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's just like, it's such a lazy path to success, right? And so he gives some good advice on how to find your niche as an entrepreneur. Talked about like identifying passion and things like that. And the cool thing about it is like, you look at Zuckerberg and say what you will about his character and integrity and what he's done.
He is a monster.
Well, yes and no, but he's,
I'm
he,
just kidding.
The man like has built something incredible. And the way that he's been able to do that is exactly by the principles which he outlines, which is, you know, being very passionate about it, attacking hard problems and like building good, high quality stuff that is difficult to most. I mean, that's what sets you apart from everyone else, is when you do the difficult things, right? So it's a great couple of clips. If you get a chance to go and watch, we'll embed the link to all of them on our site. But Utah, well, Mormons in general, I think we should have a higher standard of entrepreneurship. And well, because we put so much emphasis on provident living, right? And investing in a provident way. And, you know, these things that promise returns of 10 billion percent if you just give me all your money in this Ponzi scheme. I mean, Mormons are such suckers for that, because it's a very lazy path to success. Don't do it. Don't do it. Amen.
Well, thank you. No, I agree. So it would have been fun to see Mark there and talk about all his glorious success. I do like the quote here, like you said, yeah, that you've really got to love what you're doing. And I think that's an important thing we don't stress enough, especially in the church, because we feel so much pressure, you know, to be responsible and pragmatic. As men, I think we can say this as well, you know, to be providers, to have stability and all those things, which are good things. But oftentimes we don't stress that it's important that we do something we love doing.
Yeah.
That we are passionate about what we, you know, what we engage in. I've had jobs in the past that I've barely cared about, you know, and many of you are probably in positions like that today still.
Well,
you know,
there's,
you know,
ways,
how hard it is to care.
Like, that doesn't mean that you have to go and work on an island resort somewhere, right? Like, yeah, I highly recommend the book Great Work, Great Career by Covey. One of the more actual motivating reads that I've had in a long time. So, but it speaks directly to this, of identifying places where you can add value and you're an actual impactor on the system and being a contributor. Go and do that likewise.
I agree. The people who are most successful in this world are the ones who are proactive go-getters. And I think we often think that they just like lucked into something, but it's people who take a chance and make something happen. So,
if you
good
change
job,
your
Zuck.
Mind, I'll be next in line. Honey, I'm still free.
Oh, as a side note,
take
though,
a chance on me.
He did talk about them having extremely robust privacy controls. I just read a whole blog today on how privacy is inevitably going to result in the downfall of Facebook at one point or another.
No.
And it could. The people are not familiar enough with the privacy controls on Facebook. And on top of that, under your account settings, you should all go to the Facebook ads tab and disable any of it from having anything to do with you ever, anything. Data mining allows people to make tons of money based off of your everyday activities, and you get nothing from it. So, just saying.
Data mining? Data mining
personal
is much more broad than that. So don't use it like you
your
know.
Your face
you're
is much more
anyway,
broad than that. Your face.
Moving
your
on,
face.
Sir. I face. Said good day.
Well, you're an inhuman monster.
So there was an article in the BBC this week that says religion may become extinct in 9 nations. There's a study done using census data. It's an imperfect study to be sure, but they used census data and plotted it against previous years that said those that declared themselves as no religion or atheist are at a rise of a percentage that leads them to conclude that religion will be completely extinct in Nine Nations in short order.
Do they ever specify when, like, when they predict, like, the actual date?
No. Okay. But they took census data from as far back as a century ago and found that Australia, Austria, Canada, Czech Republic, Finland, Ireland, the Netherlands, New Zealand, and Switzerland are all in danger of extincting religion. Here's the thought for me on this is this is clearly a trend worldwide, right? Like this isn't something that's isolated to these specific nations or countries. Like this is something that I think is being identified everywhere across the board. And there may not be data to like census data, right? Like if I'm in Italy, I may still declare myself Catholic, but in reality, sure. I think religion is struggling everywhere, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yeah,
like it's
well, yeah, especially in the developed world. I mean, like in the Czech Republic, something like 60% of the people, you know, proclaim no affiliation with God. They basically proclaim themselves as atheists, which is, I think, the largest percentage in the world for any country. So yeah, I mean, of course, it's on decline. We see this all the time, generally with the United States being the exception, but even here it's affected. That in the developed world, the more developed these countries get, the more they forget God, the less they
So that's what they're saying in the comments, right? They're like, oh, look at this. That's you know, funny that there's a correlation between successful nations and they're removing themselves from religion, right? Which, for me, is I mean, it feels like a very natural.
It's Book of Mormon.
Like a very natural
it's Book of Mormon,
yeah.
Man. Pride cycle,
right? Like yeah. We look at this and we've all seen it before. There's nothing that's kind of surprising about this. It's definitely sad, but it's like it's one of those things that just makes really good sense to, you know, when you not leaving religion, but like the idea that. As a nation or as a world, as a people, that they are, you know, that you start to take credit for all your own stuff. Well, that's exactly, you know, the pride circle that comes into play, which we've seen over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's true. And that's what's, you know, the same thing's happening right now. And it's funny when you read different sites and you actually see the comments from users, and there's many people who, you know, who welcome the demise of religion because they view it as some sort of silly, you know, childish notion to believe in that. I think the one thing is, I always forget what the actual passage is in the Book of Mormon, but when I look at how complex the universe and the galaxy, the world is around us, I feel like how can there not be a creator involved in that? Like, I fully support that things do evolve sort of on their own. I think that's a part of it. That's normal. Yeah. But it's so complex. How could a whole setup as complex as we have it have completely evolved on its own, completely like that? I just think there's so many random little things I think about. One of the this is kind of random, but I often think when you look at talk about animals, like look at a dog or a cat, when they look at you, they look at your eyes. And I know this is kind of a bit of a weird aside, but I mean, think
full
about
disclosure,
that.
Full disclosure, Jeff. These Jeff are animals. Has these Riley. Are sort of. These, or Boofy, as he calls him, which he would take a bullet for, his, like, three-legged cat. Let's be honest here. This is a wave of nostalgia. This isn't an observation.
No. What I'm saying is, is these animals don't have any form of actual, like, verbal communication or the written word or anything like this. And they're not human, yet by sheer instinct, when we look at them, they look at our eyes and we look at theirs. I think there's something
to say
about that.
Do not all things
because what's to keep them
suggest that there is a God?
Why wouldn't they look at our feet, you know? How do they know that our eyes are our eyes? I think that's just a weird
These hands,
question.
They're
anyway.
Small, I know. But they're not yours. They are me own.
They're mine.
If I could tell Thank the world just that. One thing, it would be. We're all okay. No, you're right. I don't mean to belittle that. I'm just belittling the fact that you're nostalgic about cats.
I'm not nostalgic about cats.
Aren't you, Jeff?
I barely even care about that cat.
That is so not true.
That cat is ridiculous and amusing, but also a colossal pain to have during your day-to-day affairs, and you've been there.
Yeah. So, well, so...
So...
I don't know. This is a story. It's odd to see it brought up in such kind of a blatant manner and find so much leaders. But I didn't find a single one that was like, this is probably bad news. Maybe we shouldn't make religion extinct. But
I agree. And that's the problem we see. It surprises me. I always forget that Australia apparently is quite a secular country. And I never think of it as one. I always think of it being just a little bit more religious. But I guess... I mean, you know, we think of those Czechs and those Austrians and all these silly, godless Eastern Europeans, but Australia? It's very sad. And I always wonder
Australians are an island of criminals!
That's very true.
Anyway.
How could they possibly...
And New Zealand is their carekeepers. New Zealand's one that surprises me, because that's a nation of very...
New Zealand?
Yeah.
Well, Mordor is
there. They are very, very superstitious at the very least, but spiritual, I would say, people.
Do you mean all of them in general, or more the native Polynesians?
Mm-hmm. The ones I know, I guess.
So probably Polynesians from BYU Hawaii.
A lot of them are Polynesians, yeah.
Okay, all right, very good. So, moving right along. I love the Daily Universe for so many reasons. It always gives me things to think about, especially the opinion pages.
There is wisdom in those pages.
There is so much wisdom. People write in the most absurd things. It's like that and the police beats. It's been years since I've gone to BYU, but I'll still go and read these because it's hilarious, often unintentionally so. And so...
where this is going.
Some poor fella.
But wait, before you start, I had to open up the police beat when you mentioned it. March 10th, a student reported his vehicle stolen but realized it was located in a different parking lot. March 14th.
And see, that is the joy that everyone can have by going to the Daily Universe's slow and kind of difficult website. Anyway,
March 16th,
it really
an iPod was reported stolen. The student had said the iPod fell out of his pocket during class, but when he went back to find the item, it was gone. He later received a text informing him that if he wanted to get the iPod back, he had to do certain things.
So wait a minute. He got a text about an iPod? How'd they text him?
I don't know. I think there's more to this story. What's being reported?
Or was this maybe one of his friends took it? Yeah, they're
and what are these so see, the quote police unquote beat. Certain things?
Yeah, I really wonder. That sounds very bad.
March 4th, microwaves from Gilliman Halls were moved into the hall lounges where someone destroyed them by running food in them for a considerable amount of time. Police said this had already happened twice in Gilliman Halls. An investigation is pending. Good times.
I know the amusement of the police beat is not, you know, lost on it. You know, we're not the only ones aware of it. I think they honestly run it as sort of a tongue-in-cheek section. However, the opinion pages is full of all kinds of crazy people.
Okay. Anyway, as you were.
The police beat's probably more entertaining than this. But Brian Hayes from Kuna, Idaho.
All right, hold on. I'm Facebooking this guy. Who are you, Brian Hayes?
Kuna. That sounds like it would be a Hawaiian
Kuna Matana.
Kuna?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Kuna, Idaho writes a letter called Leggings Still Not Pants. And he says, walking among my fellow students, I have come to notice a distressing fashion trend that seems to be prevalent among the women on campus. It appears leggings have now become acceptable as pants. Leggings paired with a modest skirt or under workout shorts are great. But do not think for one second that the long shirt with leggings underneath is acceptable or fashionable.
What?
I've even noticed some of the women make no pretense at trying to hide the fact that they are walking around in something that leaves little to the imagination. Regular t-shirt, no pants. Let's try something. Before you make the gross, and I mean that in both senses of the word, error of walking out your door wearing something everyone on campus either cringes at or enjoys way too much. Go to the mirror and picture what your outfit, or lack thereof, would look like without the leggings. If the person you see could now be arrested for indecent exposure, try putting some actual clothes on. An observer can see every contour of your body, and trust me, it's not flattering. If it were, why would you ever want to walk around showing such an intimate detailing of your body? Please follow the honor code, and more importantly, stop making all the guys feel nauseated.
Dear Brian, Kuna, quit telling us. You idiot.
Are you gonna comment?
What an idiot. All right, first, his interpretation of the honor code is not across the board. Second,
hold on, back up. Actually, they did rule in recent years that just leggings themselves could not substitute as pants.
They ruled?
So, yeah, because it was when leggings were starting to become more popular, and so, you know, wearing them with an actual dress or whatever, but that look to wear like you said a long shirt that goes past your butt, like one piece, and then leggings. Apparently, that was not appropriate because the leggings were not qualified as pants.
Where is this ruling, and where is the jury? That's
there is no jury. This is BYU, man. This is like Iranian style. They don't know. You just rulings by decree, by committee, whatever.
Okay, so all right.
So point is, so he's fair in that. That's my understanding. And I talk to people that are still at BYU today, and they say that yes, there are.
But these
are
people
women
that are going around in leggings and nothing else.
Now
I'm before
sure
we get
not.
Too far, let me say I think leggings is the worst fashion trend to ever try and make a comeback since maybe leg warmers. But these leggings are hideous. Now, that aside, I will defend with my life your right to wear them.
Yeah. And every contour of your body. And trust me, it's not flattering.
Now Jeff,
Brian,
you left a comment on this, didn't you, Jeff?
I did. I was going to get there. First off, Brian, let me talk to you directly for a second, son.
Camera one.
I question whether you have a libido or strong hormonal tendencies, Brian Hayes. Perhaps you are asexual. I don't know. But to issue a general comment that to say every contour of your body is not flattering, just to generally say that is a bit off base, my friend. Because while leggings may look stupid, I think in many cases they can be very flattering. Have you seen a girl who has a choice posterior? Leggings can be a good thing in that case. I'm not saying they're modest or put proper thoughts in my mind, but I'm not going to say it's not flattering.
This makes me think of the letter to the Daily Universe a couple years back where a guy wrote in saying that girls shouldn't be allowed to wear the messenger bags that had the strap that went across the body because it went between the bosoms and accentuated that. I'm just like,
it made it more obvious that they had boobs.
How dare they?
Yeah,
monsters.
Yeah, same thing. I remember that one. So anyway, yes, I commented. We'll see if it gets approved. It was very brief.
The standards aren't there to make women look like they're not women, Brian.
Brian wants them to dress. Where is Kuna, Idaho? This. Let's judge people based on where they're from. Of course, if I did that, Al, who knows what I'd think of you. But let's judge people.
What's let's that, see. Orange where? County? I can't hear That's you what? Over the cost of your car.
All right. Kuna, Idaho is basically a suburb of Boise. So homeboy here can't possibly be that out of the loop. I don't know. But I commented, his letter, of course, is called Leggings Still Not Pants. And I commented, I said, you go, you tell him, son. That was the name of my comment. And I said, actually, leggings are pants. And I think you should have changed the name of your article to Leggings Are Actually Pants. And then I said, really? Because you're talking about how we can see every contour of the body. I find that leggings actually shape the body in a more flattering way. Have you seen the contours of many people's bodies when there isn't some sort of tight spandex thing to keep everything in check?
It's true.
It's far worse. It's far worse. So really, leggings are doing everyone a favor by, much
what
like push-up bras, by giving
leggings,
us a false
leggings
sense
and
of
then pants.
This guy wants all the girls to wear jumpers. and long sleeve shirts.
Two pants. It's like a repaint. Two pants.
Please write a letter to the editor, Al, that just says two pants are still pants. Two pants.
It's a retweet. It's like two tweets. It's a retweet.
Yeah.
It's
so,
a repaint.
Brian Hayes, thank you for amusing me. There's always so much good stuff on the Daily Universe opinion page.
What a buffoon. This man.
I love him.
He
I love
is what
him
is
so
wrong
up.
With America.
Yes.
If Glenn
Beck knew Brian Hayes
existed.
I honestly appreciate the underlying importance to stress that, yes, he wants, you know, he appreciates women being modest and you know, taking that effort to respect their bodies and stuff. I'm never going to knock that. That's fine. But
and
I think
blah, blah, blah. Leggings are hideous, but hot dang, who cares?
Yeah, we need to choose our battles, my son. I want to meet Brian Hayes. Did you find anything on Facebook?
No.
It's kind
of
a generic name, so I don't know if... Yeah, there's probably a lot of them, which is a shame.
Monster.
Anyways, a few mentions this week as we wrap up here. No?
Yep.
Oh,
first,
where'd it go?
My favorite is the online missionary article.
Isn't it brilliant?
Incredibly brilliant. So the article is, of course, from the Mormon Times. We say of course because
of course.
The Mormon Times merits nothing more than mentions anymore. Select group of missionaries
without McKay, what do we have?
Serving online. So it's an article about missionaries at the MTC that are proselyting online, right? And so the picture,
which is a good thing. That's a good thing.
The picture shows Elder Todd Lee Master, or as we like to know him, Slacker in the MTC, and Elder Blair Alstrom are quote unquote working online at Mormon.org.
Yeah, they're supposed to be. Yes,
the picture is clearly open to the computer's open to Facebook on one ad on the other. What?
Yeah.
A schmuck. What a schmuck. Hey,
and that's the main.
Hey, Elder, both feet in the mission field. Will you, buddy? Will you? Can you be a buddy right now and just put both feet in the mission field? That's what I want you to do.
Yeah, and I didn't want to like rail on it because before I saw this, I was really trying to think like, well, would there be a reason for them to be on Facebook? Like, is there any possible chat, missionary, anything? But if you're on Facebook, all you can do is talk with your friends on chat.
That's right. You're not going to meet new people, and you can't do the companion chat that you're supposed to
do. No, I mean, they
do.
Could possibly, unless Facebook has some crazy API we don't know about. But yeah, I mean, they...
They don't. I work with it.
What
we're trying to say.
Or if the church has a Facebook page and they're at least posting material to it,
well,
they should be signed
initiative.
Out of chat.
What is this new missionary initiative we're doing? Essentially, what's going to happen is you're going to start having kids that are going to be in line. They're going to be like, you know, I don't need to go on a mission, quote unquote, because I actually chat on Facebook a lot already, and I feel like I'm fulfilling my calling here.
Wouldn't it be funny if we found out, like, I mean, I don't hope this. I hope that there was good reason for them to be on Facebook. It is hilarious to me if they were on Facebook and shouldn't have been, and he was that oblivious to let the photo get taken of him on Facebook. Maybe the church has some program. Maybe they say, go on Facebook. Be there. If your friends talk to you, you're missionary. Share the gospel.
They don't. We would know about this. We report this for a living, Jeff.
This is true. And let me tell you this much. The money I make from TWIM is probably more than I can make working on the Hill. You know what I'm saying?
What a guy.
Yeah, but this just cracks me up. I mean, it's great if they're doing this, but... They also play on Facebook. I'm surprised they're not on the Twitter feed. Maybe they're listening to TWIM. Maybe they let them listen to our show. Who knows?
Good times.
So, Tony Award nominee, Will Swenson. You might know him best as the lead actor from the Singles Ward. You know, Singles Ward? That old movie from 10
I know
years
him
ago.
Now.
He was in it. We've talked about it before. Will Swenson, of course.
He's the bad guy.
And he's the bad guy in the RM. Yes. But Will Swenson,
in every church movie.
Sort of. He left the church a number of years ago, probably even back when he made the first Singles Ward movie. So we'll have a whole discussion on why actors who leave the church still think it's fun to take part in church productions. Even not official church productions, but you know what I mean. That's a whole other ball of wax. Anyways, he is going to be directing a film called Facing East, which centers on a young Mormon man who commits suicide after struggling with his homosexuality. So... Just wanted to give the shout out to Will Swenson. The apple has fallen a little bit farther from the tree, and he's just doing his thing. Right now he's starring in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. He was just in Hair. He's all over it.
What about Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark?
I wish he were in that. I still want to see that, but it's like the same reason I watch Wipeout. I just want to see a disaster.
It's true. That adds to it quite a bit.
All right. So anyways, Will Swenson. Woo!
Yeah, just kind of so you know. Let's see. The LDS Tech Conference
is like selling
apparently,
out.
Yeah, apparently it's full. So after we gave it, I'd like to point this out. After we gave it the twin bump, it's pretty much stick a fork in it, Jerry. It's done.
I should have gone to it and just stood there obstinately demanding that they offer better support for Android stuff. Like, say, I don't know how to do any of it. I don't know how to develop any apps. I can't actually be a solution to the problem, but I demand this. How dare you love your iPhone so much?
And how dare they... Well, I actually don't mind.
Hey, there's some...
I'd really like to get a good Scriptures app for the BlackBerry for free, if you could do that.
That'd be fun, too. Hey, your Kansas City Temple looks like it's coming along, eh?
Dude, we got a Moroni this week.
Yeah.
It's big news. All the family back home was sending texts, big pictures, all that stuff. We got the big man up top.
See, that's great. It's so great they've got that going on. I think I remember when they put Merlin and I on the Newport Beach Temple. It was a cool day too. It's fun to have a temple in your local area. Like it's just a cool experience seeing it go up. And also another temple related. Sorry. Yes.
Nope. Go ahead.
Oh, just another temple related news. The San Salvador El Salvador Temple is about 95% complete, and concrete foundations at the Gilbert, Arizona Temple are being set up. So we haven't given any temple updates for a while.
Is there anything in Bogota?
There's been a temple in Bogota for a number of years.
Good. I was hoping Bogota was going to be well taken care of.
And if only everyone else was listening to us before the show so they'd understand why I'm laughing.
We were looking for tickets, and I suggested Bogota.
And I was just like, where the heck is Bogota?
And then Jeff sent me a picture of reading Rambo, which I mentioned that so that you will have to share that with everyone.
Well, part of me wants to share it with everyone because it's reading Rambo.
Can go anywhere.
And then as a, if I may go out and be self-indulgent, baseball starts this week. Yes. Best time of year. Baseball is starting. Point is, good old Kent Larson over at Times and Seasons put up a quick little story about Major League Mormons. If you love baseball, it's fun to look at it and see who the Mormons are who play baseball.
I only wish that there was a way that I could care less.
Yeah. It's fun. I had no idea that Roy Halladay, celebrated as one of the greatest pitchers in the game right now, was raised Mormon. I don't think he went on a mission or anything, but he and his wife were both raised LDS. Neither of them are apparently practicing right now. I had no idea Roy Halladay was Mormon, or Jacoby Ellsbury, for that matter. Who knew? Apparently, Jeremy Guthrie, who's a great pitcher on the Orioles, is like a totally active member. He served a mission and everything. I don't know these things. It's fun. Woo!
Anything else, Jeff?
I just wanted to love baseball. I wish you loved baseball, too. I celebrate your love for basketball. Why can't you love baseball with me?
I've actually celebrated your love for baseball. We've been to a number of games in some very nice seats. Actually, I don't know. Have you ever gone to a game with me?
Yeah. We went to Mormon night once at the Angels, if you remember.
I remember, yes.
Remember, we were on TV. We were on TV afterwards.
It's too bad you were dating that chick, because I sure went to some great games with a bunch of other dudes that were willing to hang out.
We can save a public discussion about your frustration with me being in a committed relationship during the time you lived with me another time.
Anyway.
Because I wasn't at your beck and call. Oh, and one last thing. Lindy Hill, our girl. We have our new McKay. Wrote a great article about how the authors of some book about like standards for kids made a DVD to explain their book. Their book is basically for the strength of youth.
Jeff, you're just teeing up to knock down Lindy Hill, aren't you?
Yeah. These are probably assignments. I don't think she sought this one out. I don't know. Maybe she did. But this is a DVD that's basically a DVD for the strength of youth. So my question is, why does this need any press? And why does this even exist? Just read For the Strength of Youth. It's a very quick, simple, direct read, and it has everything you need to know. That's all.
Amen.
I don't need graphs, pictures, and guest speakers to explain to me that I need to be modest and not show my navel.
I do.
It's written right there.
Actually, the more pictures about navels, the better.
Yes.
Please don't take that as a challenge, listeners. I don't want a bunch of pictures of navels.
Actually, I think we do. Before we go, as we wind down right here, one mention real quick. Jana McPherson, you might remember we had her on the show some time ago to promote her book.
She got her book deal.
Well, not a big deal, but her book just got picked up by Deseret Book. So I don't know if it's available yet.
I think
yet
that's what I just said.
Well, I don't know if it was a book deal, per se. I'm just saying.
Oh, jeez.
I'm being particular. I'm sorry. But her book got picked up by Deseret Book. That's great news for her. We just want to, you know, pat her on the back, send our congratulations in that regard. And if you haven't seen FHE Book, it would behoove you to do so. It's very useful. And I'm on page 36, so.
All right, everybody.
Oh, and one last thing. The Facebook poll, Al. Let's tell them about it.
You have a great week.
I put a poll on Facebook for you to vote for your favorite host of this show.
You know where you can find us.
So who do you want? Me, the smart, loving, sensitive type who cries at the Fresh Prince?
Or me, the zany, wacky disc jock.
Yeah, or that guy. So go on Facebook and vote, because so far only 4 people have, and 2 of them are the 2 people talking to you right now. So anyway, with that, and of course, find us at facebook.com/thisweekinmormons, where you can take part in that
poll. Are we 50% of this poll, and it's a dead heat? We'll never know. All right, anyway.
See you later, tell us the other places we should go.
Yeah, twitter.com/therealtwim and facebook.com/thisweekinmormons and thisweekinmormons.com.
Punto com in Spanish. And that's going to be it. Thanks, buddy. Have a good one. And, stay tuned next week. We might have kind of a cool show just because for personal reasons.
That's right.
All right.
Have a good conference, everybody, next week.
Yeah, we'll do a little recap action. So please be ready to share with us your insights. And Al, take it easy. Have fun working until whenever you work. And I'm gonna go to bed.
All right. Have a good one, everybody.
Peace out. And we'll see you later. And I should have identified the show at the beginning, which I didn't do, actually. By the way, this has been This Week in Mormons. Have a great day.